Turn tonight to Matthew chapter 28. We're talking about the What About series. We've talked about what about dress. We spoke about the distinction of dress in our church. We're talking about why do we do the things that we do? Why do we practice what we practice? We spoke about what about music? Why don't we have the music that we have in our church? Why don't we have Nashville here? Why don't we have Graceland here? We have specific music in our church, and we spoke about that. We spoke about what about stewardship and about tithes and offerings and about our giving. Last week I spoke about what about the King James Bible, and I appreciate some of your comments after that. Tonight I want to speak to you about what about children's ministries. There's a philosophy that a church should have when it comes to the children of its church. And if you would study and look at other churches, you'll find some things that are predominant. First of all, it's interesting, but the Calvinist church, they really condemn the breaking up of the home. They teach that the family should be together and they should not be separated at all. They're against Sunday school classes. They're against any kind of a separation, but that the church comes together as family and stays together. The other philosophy would be basically that there's a breakup like what we would do, but it would be more of a gym time, a play time. It's a Kool-Aid time. Let's have a refreshment time. Let's have a ball time. There's not much constructive or productivity in spiritual atmosphere taking place. Now, I'm very proud of our children's ministries, and the people who work in it do an outstanding job. And I want to talk a little bit about what about our children's ministries. To do so, let me lay a basis or foundation from the Scripture to begin with. Let's start with Matthew 28, verse 19. The Bible says, "Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even at the end of the world. Amen." What better place to begin to teach or to witness to people about the Lord than His church, and what better time than the early age? The Bible tells us that we're to begin discipline our children betimes or early in life. And we should begin to train and to teach our children about the Lord Jesus Christ just extremely early, just as soon as they start coming out of the nursery. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." There's a mindset that we get really serious when kids get into the adolescence years, and that's when we really need to start getting serious. Let me tell you something, that's late. That's way late. And there's an understanding, I've said for years, that strong juniors make great teenagers. But when it comes to salvation, do you understand? Children can understand and they can be saved at ages 3, 4, and 5. Some great and wonderful men of God were saved early in life. And if you have the reinforcement of the church and of a Christian school or of a home school and Christ in your home, you should see early salvations of your children. It shouldn't be a situation where there's a salvation and a spiritual appointment takes place later on in life. We need to preach the gospel to every creature early on. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." We have a understanding that the Spirit of God has to convict and has to work in the hearts of people. But do you understand that we have the job of persuading? That's exactly what the Apostle Paul did. Do you understand that? That God does not select. God is the God of election. But we have the responsibility to persuade men. "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest unto your consciences." We are to persuade men. We are to use the gospel. We are to share the word of God. And it is the word of God that connects to the soul and the spirit of people with the spirit of God that enables the spirit of God to woo the souls of man to God. And we are to make a conscious persuasion to them. Every Sunday morning when a preacher preaches, he has a proposition. And that proposition is Jesus Christ. And when he preaches, that preaching is persuading them to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, he's pitching, he's selling. It's a free gift. But his pitch, his proposition, his motivation is Jesus. And the invitation, I don't understand somebody who doesn't get an invitation, because if he pitched something, if he was persuading something, there should be some kind of result there for it. And so we are to persuade. And what better opportunity to do a persuasion than early on with small children? We're talking about what about children's ministries? In Luke chapter 14, verse 21, the Bible says, "So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto the servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city." This is city dwelling. "And bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind." And the servant said, "Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room." And the Lord said unto the servant, "Go out into the highways and hedges," that's the countryside, "and compel them to come in." That compelling, there again we find a strong point of persuasion. "Compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." You know, we have the opportunity and we have the mandate to persuade and to compel people to come to Christ. What better time to do it than when they're just little bitty towheads, when they're just little bitty children? Now, don't misunderstand. I hate sandbox salvation. You understand what I'm saying on that? I hate this. You know, do you want to go to hell? No. You want to go to heaven? Yes. Pray this prayer. Now you're going to heaven. And I want to tell you this, with my hand up, I have never done that. And I've been very careful. And even with my own children, I have prayed for conviction to store in them, and for them to have that spiritual and true conversion experience. And in our children's church and in our KJ church, we don't have what I call repeat offenders. That's because we're very thorough when we deal with these children. In other words, we don't have the same 8, 10, 12 kids come every Sunday and make a decision. We don't do that. And a church that does that, they're doing something grossly wrong. Amen? And so, you know, we don't do that. But let me tell you this. If we have children in the church and we don't have programs for them, and we're giving them Kool-Aid and cupcakes and donuts and cookies and basketball and four square, and we're not giving them the gospel, we are doing something grossly wrong here. So if we bring them in our service and we're constantly, we don't give them anything along their level, and we're preaching on the table of showbread, and that's all they're getting, and nothing on their level, we're doing something grossly wrong here. We're having children's ministries to minister to children so that they might understand and comprehend. And understand this, the Bible is written, and it's the simple plan of salvation. And the Spirit of God that enlightens you and I can enlighten children as well, has and does. So we see here that he tells them to go out and compel them to come in. Now, understand, look in Acts chapter 26, verse 11. The Bible says, "And I," this is Paul speaking about his past testimony, "and I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme." Can I tell you this? He said, "Well, I'm not sure we should really promote, or we should compel, or we should persuade. I'm not sure that's of God." Well, the Bible tells us to persuade men. The Bible tells us to compel them. Then know what the Bible says? Can I tell you this? The world and the devil is compelling them to be evil. You know, Paul says when he was lost, he compelled them to blaspheme. And we've got the movie theater, and we've got Hollywood, and we've got the world, and we've got the devil, and we've got their own flesh that's compelling them to be evil. And there needs to be someone compelling them and persuading them to come to Christ. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 42, you don't have that one. Matthew chapter 10, verse 42 says this, "And whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones," speaking of children, "whosoever shall give a drink unto one of these little ones, a cup of cold water, only in the name of the disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." What the Bible is saying is if you give a cup of cold water in the name of Christ to a little child, you're not going to lose a reward for that. Now, let me say, if a cup of cold water is a blessing to a child, how much better is a snow cone? I mean, how much better, is a piece of bubble gum? See, we use promotion. We compel kids to come in. We have cupcake Sunday. We give bubble gum on Sunday. Can I tell you something? We give bubble gum on Saturday, too, just because we love them. We don't have a Saturday school, but we give it anyway. And there are those who will criticize. And can I tell you this? You know what I think about those who criticize that? I think, what a Pharisee. You do nothing to get children to come to Christ. You do absolutely nothing to try to see children to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ought to have a motivation, a persuasion, a compelling. We see the world compelling them to blaspheme. We see the devil using all the forces of Satan and of the world to cause them to blaspheme. God tells us to teach all nations, to baptize them. The Bible tells us teaching them to observe all things. The Bible tells us to preach the gospel to every creature. The Bible tells us to persuade men. The Bible tells us to go out in the streets and lanes, to go out in the highways and hedges, compel them to come in. In Mark chapter 10, verse 13, he says, "And they brought young children to him." These are parents who are bringing their children to Jesus, that he should touch them. They just want Christ to touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. What a rebuke to his disciples. The disciples thought they were doing Christ a favor. They were protecting Christ. You know, these parents were coming. "Would you please just touch my child? Would you just take my son? Would you just touch him? This is my daughter. Would you just lay hands on her? Would you just touch her?" And they said, "You know, be gone with you, be gone with you. He's much too busy for this." He was much displeased with this. And he stopped them and he said, "Suffer the little children to come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." And I want to tell you this. The Lord wants us to reach our children. He wants us to reach the children in our community early on. And a church ought to have a heart for children. And we all that we have, and I'm all for pizza and Pepsi and for party. I'm all for that stuff. You know I am. But I want to tell you this. It's worthless if we don't put Jesus in the middle of it and give the gospel and see people come to Christ. It's about children's ministry. Now, I believe that we have some of the best children's programs that there are. And I think of our Sunday school. It begins at 9:45, and we dismiss, and it starts over, and we break up in different groups. And I want to tell you, I have a grandchildren, and I sit at lunch with my grandchildren, and I'm talking from 7 years old to 5 years old, and I'm talking to a little over 2 years old, and they can tell me what they got in Sunday school. I'm talking Maggie Grapes can tell me what she got in Sunday school. And that comes not from brilliant children, but from good teaching. I don't know how they do it. I wouldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't stand it. I don't know, they run around the chairs after them or how they do it. Because I walk by there sometimes and I see it and I thought, oh, I'm out of here. And we have tremendous Sunday school teachers. I mean, they are just great and they've been doing it for years. I miss Anita Kaufman. Kathy Mutter were like Batman and Robin, or the Lone Ranger and Tonto, or you know, Cagney and Lacey or something. I don't know what to say. You know, some of you don't even know who that is. I can't believe I thought it. You know, and just tremendous. I'll tell you something. Sunday school is not found in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, have Sunday school. Some of you know that. That's probably why you don't come. You know. But I want to tell you this. Sunday school is crucial, and it's crucial for children. It's amazing to me, the people who say, you know, I really don't think I need Sunday school, and they're usually the most biblically ignorant people in the church. And I'm not trying to be ugly, but it's usually the truth. They don't know who has the coat of many colors. They're not sure who built the ark. They don't know what kind of fish swallowed the who. You know, they don't know factual stuff about the Bible. You find people who grew up in Sunday school. I tell you what, there are people who've grown up in Sunday school who aren't saved, and they've got Sunday school pen attendance down here, and they know everything about the Bible. They can tell you data about the Bible because they grew up in Sunday school, but they never had gotten saved. You see, Sunday school is important. Listen, I love the bus ministry. The bus ministry yields tremendous returns. We go out on some retired, dilapidated buses. Now, I say things, and our buses don't look like much, but to be honest with you, they've got diesel engines, they got good tires, and they run, they stop, they're weekend warriors. They go out, and we pick up kids, and we bring them in. And we may pick up, you know, anywhere from 125 to sometimes 200 children. We go out to the inner city. We go out to Lincoln Court. We pick up children. We bring them in. We red, yellow, black, and white. They're all precious in their sight. We bring them in for a service. We have a special service for them, a service that's geared. I put the service together myself. It's a fast-moving service. It's quick-moving. It's geared just for them. It's not something that's going to be sitting there for church children. They don't have a long attention span, but we're seeing them come to the Lord. We're seeing them receiving Christ. And understand this, some of the only nurture and love they receive is on the Sunday that we pick them up or the Saturday that we visit, and that is the absolute truth. I love the bus ministry. I love children's church. We'll have two children's church. We'll have the KJ church, and then we have our own children in a church, and they're separated. But it's a sweet children's church, and it's a time that they're there, and they get to hear Bible stories and learn about the Word of God on their level rather than being in here with us. And hearing me preach or hearing guest speaker preach. I love King's Kids. King's Kids is distinctively Baptist. It gives them opportunity to memorize the scripture. It gives them Baptist distinctions of doctrine. They understand baptism, what it is. They understand the Lord's Supper. There are key elements of the church that they are learning along with scripture memorization. King's Kids, it starts at 4:30. It's very valuable. It's important. You ought to have your children in King's Kids. I love the Christian school. The Christian school ministry, it's for children. It's a bit different than the other ministries simply because it's not just a lay person who can work in there. They actually need to be a degree teacher and qualified to teach that class and so on. But it's a great outreach as well, and we're seeing kids. When we had Rick Flanders for Revival last week, we had several children saved in that spiritual emphasis week. While we were in Revival, we had chapel every day that morning in our Christian school. We had several children that were saved. I led several to Christ myself. I love the Christian school. Now, there are some pastors and maybe lay people as well, who say that these ministries are too costly, they're too much trouble, and there's too much liability. And, you know, they make some good points. Those buses, there's a lot of liability that goes with those. There's sometimes we don't run them because of liability. When there's ice and snow or there's a tornado out there, we're not going to have, you know, 60 people on a 54 capacitor bus out there rocking and rolling on the bus. There's times that we try to be exercise some wisdom with it. We have a Christian school, and You know, you have kids here, you have them here all the time, and things can happen. And we try to run a really tight ship, and we watch for things, and we have morning devotion every morning, and I talk with the staff, and we set things out. We have staff meeting every Thursday at 4 o'clock, and we cover trouble spots, and we try to see where there might be issues from A to B and C and cover those things. But I want to tell you this, ministry is trouble. We're in the people business, and people are problems. We're not in the teaching business. We're in the people business. And when you deal with people, there's going to be issues. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. And every church should have a great desire to reach little children. He says, suffer the little children. Suffer the little children. Over and over you see little children there. Well, you know, I don't know. They should be of a certain age. Well, you know, you're the doctor and philosopher of all things. How old do they need to be? Jesus said little children. You know. Jesus said little children. You know what I think is really pitiful? Is to spend $2.4 million on a complex and use it on Sundays and Wednesdays and it's closed the rest of the week. Don't you? What a waste. You know, these buildings are open every day, all day long. We left here, we got up at 5 yesterday morning, and we left here at 10:35 last night. Back up here again yesterday morning, a little bit before 8. We're here. These doors are open. This is the work of God, and it ought to be open. It ought to be open for business. It should be, you know, things should be moving here. And what a shame to, you know, be open on Sunday and on Wednesday, and the rest of the week there's a chain drawn across the entranceway where people can't get in. Sunday morning, Wednesday morning, Sunday morning, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 24/7, it's open all the time for business and ministering 24/7. Now, let me share with you real quick. I was going to try to be done already, but I'm not. Why we should have a desire to reach little children. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Number one, we desire to reach little children because children are precious to the Savior. In Mark chapter 10, verse 16, the Bible says, he took them up in his arms and put his hand upon them and blessed them. Jesus picked them up. He took them up in his arms. Can you see that? He loved them. He received them. Secondly, he rebuked those who tried to withhold them from him. His own disciples. He gave them a sharp rebuke. And then thirdly, he reaches out to them today. He desires to have them today. He wants them to know him today. He wants to make himself manifested to them early now. As over and over we see little children. Number two, children are prospects for salvation. Little children are prospects for salvation. Well, you know, Jesus was confirmed at 12. Where do you get that from? The Catholic Church? Is that where you got that from? You know, Jesus, when he was about 12, he spoke with the rulers in the temple, and that's where that kind of thinking comes from. Understand this. Jesus was never confirmed. He was God. In 2 Kings chapter 2, this is interesting. Look in 2 Kings. You look on the wall. 2 Kings chapter 2. I always kind of like this anyway. Boys and girls, look at this passage. John Allen, you want to watch this passage here. Verse 23. And when he went up from thence unto Bethel, see, it talks about our church in here. You want to watch this. And he was going up by the way, there came forth little children. Notice little children. Out of the city and mocked him. They're mocking the man of God here. Whoa. They're mocking him. Garrett. Sit up, boy. You need to really pay attention to this. They're mocking the man of God here. The little children out of the city and mocked him and said, go up, thou bald head. Go up, thou bald head. Did I hear amen out there by anybody? And he, Elisha, turned back and looked at them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. Now, he didn't use a curse word, let me tell you that. But he cursed them in the name of the Lord, and there came forth two she-bears out of the woods and tear 40 and two children of them. Yeah. That'd teach those smarty pants, wouldn't it? You got anything you want to say to the man of God tonight? You want to say something? You got anything you want to say to anybody? Now, let me give you the understanding here, what took place here. These children were not just mocking Elisha. They were mocking God, and they were mocking the Word of God, and they were mocking the works of God. It shows the hard-heartedness of children here. It was revealing their hard-heartedness. It was revealing the malicious hearts that they had. And these children were against the Lord and the work of God and the Word of God. And you see the phrase where it says, he cursed them in the name of the Lord. He was not being vengeful or vindictive of himself. He was standing for God and for his Word. And so he stood and he cursed them in the name of the Lord. Now, it's interesting. In two places in the Bible, in Proverbs and in Hosea, it speaks about coming between a mother and her whelps. And you've heard, oh, she's a good mother. You know, she loves her children. And she's like a mama bear if you mess with her kids. You've heard that saying. This is what, you know, it gives reference to two she-bears. That's what it's talking about here. And two she-bears came out and ate 42 of these kids. Now, we want to think, well, there's plenty of time to reach children. Can I tell you something? Brother Melton, you're a retired policeman. You know this. You know 12 and 13-year-olds turn around and kill a cop in a minute. 12 and 13-year-olds will turn around. You know that, Troy. You've seen that. There's places where a 12-year-old will turn around and pull a trigger on a cop in a New York second. We're not living in the days of Norman Rockwell. Those days are gone. There are no more Opie Taylors. Those days, kids are punks, and I mean, they are really troubled. And they need Jesus, and they need him early, and we need children's ministries to reach them quickly. Let me tell you something. There's a guy that they used to call Crazy Moody. He lived in Chicago. He didn't have a whole lot of education because his father died, and he had to quit his former education and get a job and start working. He got a job working in a shoe store, and his Sunday school teacher became very burdened for him and came by his workplace and spoke to him. He was very the Sunday school teacher was very meek and mild man. He walked past the door four or five times before he finally mustered enough courage to go in and talk to Moody. And he finally sat down and says, Dwight, God brought me here today to talk to you. And Dwight, I need to talk to you about Jesus. And the Sunday school teacher led Dwight Moody to Christ that day. And Dwight Moody became a preacher. You've heard of him. You know, of Moody Bible College. And Moody became a great preacher. And he looked at the hooligans on the streets of Chicago. And he started the first bus ministry with horses and wagons. And went by and picked up the kids nobody wanted to deal with. Nobody wanted to touch. Kids that were just throwaways that would stick you in a minute and would steal you blind. That's who he dealt with. And by the way, he started an organization called the YMCA to reach them. Are you familiar with that? Now, the Salvation Army is more army than it is salvation today, and the YMCA has lost its focus altogether as well. But Moody started those things to reach these kids. And people want to talk about, man, I tell you, these buses, they cost so much money, they cost insurance, they cost so much gas and so many repairs. What do you think Moody's horses did and the problem he had with them and the wagons and everything with that? I'm just saying that children left unto themselves will bring more than just their mother's shame. And we live in a day where children can become cutthroat. These children were mocking. They were malicious. They were vile. And they spoke and they were so bold to mock God, mock the Word of God, mock the works of God, and to poke fun at the man of God, go up thou bald head. And the man of God turned and rebuked them because of God. and God destroyed them. And the Bible says in verse 23, there came forth little children. So don't tell me there's plenty of time here. There's not. And I believe our days are more evil now than ever. Listen, if they're old enough to realize their condition, they're old enough to be saved. If they're old enough to recognize Christ and his work on Calvary, they're old enough to be saved. If they're old enough to realize that Christ alone for salvation, then they're old enough to be saved. The Bible says in Matthew 18, verse 3, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? A little child is a person of faith. They'll step off a cliff and jump right into dad's arm. It's that kind of childlike faith that saves us. Number three, one of Winnie Children's ministries. Because of the children are pliable to the Spirit. And what I mean by that is Hebrews 3, verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called a day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Children still have a sensitivity and a soft heart at that certain age. Ron Riley wrote back 35 years ago a book that I read. I had him for a Bible class in college called Building I think it was Building Youth is Better Than Mending Men. Or reaching kids is better than mending men. And I thank God for rescue missions, and I thank God for RU, and there's a need for all those. But I want to tell you something. If we can reach them before they get on the streets, how much better that is than have to go to a rescue mission. You see, because sin, these children are sinners, but they haven't experienced sin. Sin, continual sin, hardens our heart and takes us deeper and deeper and deeper. Because of this simple understanding, we can reach them, and they have a simple understanding and that simple faith. And because of the shock of conviction, when a child understands, nobody wants to go to hell, but when a child comprehends they're going to hell and they're deserving a hell, they can be saved. Lastly, we have children's ministries because they are potential servants for the future. The Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 9, there is a lad here. There's a lad here. There's a problem. There's 5,000 men plus their wives plus their children. Easily 25,000, 30,000 people, and there's not any food for them. But there's a lad here who had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what is that? But what are they among so many? There's a plan for the lad's life. There's power available for that young lad, and there's a possible giant among us in that lad. We don't know what God wants to do in that lad. We don't know what God wants to do in that little child. As far as we know, there's a young David among us. As far as we know, there's a Samuel among us. As far as we know, there's a Paul among us. As far as we know, there's a Timothy among us. As far as we know, there's a young evangelist or young pastor that's there among us. They just need to be reached. They're just a little child. And we don't need to wait till they get sin hardened or till they wreck their life with baggage. We need to reach them while they're a little child. And this is why we have children's ministries. Now, I'm all about Pepsi and party and pizza. But I want to tell you this. Come Sunday school time, they might get some popcorn from Kathy Mutter. But a lot more is going on in there but popcorn. What I'm saying is, we're not going to have the gym time and a recreational time. And while we're over here studying the deep things of God, we're having romper room with your kids. We're not having romper room. We need to teach your children the Bible, and your children need to learn about Jesus because they need to be saved. They need to be saved at an early age. And God's people said, let's stand. Lord, help us to not just support the philosophy of our church and the Bible about reaching children, but help us to serve in these capacities. For we can work in Sunday school. We need to serve in the bus ministry. We need to serve in children's church. We need to serve in King's Kids. We need to serve in possibly the Christian school in some capacity that we can serve in. And while there are those who look on it and they scoff, and some will even be skeptics about it and ask, you know, are these really worth it? Isn't it too costly? Isn't it too much trouble? Isn't there too much liability? We know that if we can reach them earlier, there's so much greater possibility that you can do in their life. There's so much greater chance of less baggage for them. And yet, I ask you tonight that you deal with us, and that we be bus drivers, and we be servants to make these ministries function and go well. That we not have a generation of children grow up biblically ignorant and lost right under our noses here at Bethel Baptist Church. While other churches are adapting different philosophies of party or of Kool-Aid or of activity, may we be true of evangelizing little children. For you've made it clear, suffer the little children to come unto me. In thy name I pray.